You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hey there, everybody, and welcome in to Friday episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today, there's a little bit of news to talk about. We also are going to talk about some free agents in the same category. We're going to focus a lot on the defensive line today, and the reason for that is the Vikings made their first signing of the 2021 offseason before the 2021 offseason has officially started. They have brought back an old friend, hashtag old friend, Stephen Weatherly is going to rejoin the Vikings to the tune of a $2.5 million contract. $500K of that is a signing bonus. The rest of it is $2 million in base salary. He can get another $500,000 based on sack incentives, so maximum $3 million. Contract, 1 year deal. So he's coming back on a little bit of a prove it contract after things didn't work out for him in Carolina. It's kind of funny that just yesterday we were talking about the compensatory pick formula and ways to manipulate it. Well, a great way to manipulate it is to let a player that you maybe don't think is going to be worth the contract that he will get, which is basically the Stephen Weatherly deal last year. He got a $6 million deal. The Vikings didn't think that he was worth that. So they kind of said, all right, yeah, go. You know, try your luck elsewhere for a lot of money. He played 1 year on that contract and it didn't work out, but that contract was big enough to get, or at least to contribute to, the Vikings compensatory pick formula, and is partially responsible for the Vikings likely being awarded a sixth round pick. And now they get Stephen Weatherly back after the contract doesn't work out. It's great. They kind of have their cake and eat it too there. That's a small consideration here, but kind of a fun way to look at the whole thing. But really, this is bringing back an old defensive lineman. He had a lot to say to reporters and stuff when he made his announcement that he was coming. Apparently, the deal got done on Thursday, and now he's just announcing it and making the media rounds and all that stuff. And he talked to Andrew Kramer of Star Tribune, a lot of media people, and kind of said, you know, I'm really excited to come back. He was really excited to go work with Andre Patterson again, you know, to kind of, he said, you know, there's a familiarity, you know, knowing the expectations, knowing how you communicate and all that stuff, and just being back in Minnesota. He really liked it in Minnesota, and he said there's a lot of things here that he like maybe took for granted, you know, go chase the money. That didn't work out. Now he's coming back home. That's going to be a really nice thing. The other thing is that this contract, I think, signals a little bit of the Vikings' intent for Stephen Weatherly and their kind of expectations for Stephen Weatherly. And we'll talk a little bit more about his merits in a second, but the contract, I think, is very telling because it is $2 million base salary. I don't think any of it's guaranteed. I couldn't find like the official unguaranteed or guaranteed or whatever, but it looks like unguaranteed $2 million. And the only sunk cost, as it were, is the $500,000 signing bonus. So there is a world, technically, where Stephen Weatherly has a really bad camp, doesn't make the team, and the Vikings are only out half a mil. And I think that and just the fact that, you know, at maximum, this is a $300,000 or a $3 million deal. And that $3 million deal would be attained with, I think, 7 sacks for Stephen Weatherly, which is totally attainable even as a rotational player, which tells me the Vikings probably don't expect Stephen Weatherly to be any more than a rotational player. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if this was always the deal they had in mind for Stephen Weatherly. And for whatever it's worth, I think I agree that Stephen Weatherly is best seen as a rotational player. I'm kind of putting him in the same bucket as Afadi Odenigbo there, which I think dials back. I was really high on Afadi Odenigbo. If you were with the show like last training camp, last offseason, even the offseason before that, I was really, really high on Odenigbo. I thought he could be like a true starter. And I think he was like a not quite good enough starter. He could if you're like in a pinch, but I think it's pretty easy to do better than Odenigbo as a starter. And so I would put him in that same rotational bucket. We still don't know if Afadi Odenigbo is going to be on the team in 2021, by the way. He's a restricted free agent. We don't know if they're going to tender him or let him walk or anything like that. So that could also kind of be a reflection on this particular move. Stephen Weatherly has kind of gotten the amount of money that a tender would be, or close to the amount of money that a tender would be for Afadi Odenigbo. So was that a choice that they were making, or are they going to, you know, purchase both of them at the same price and kind of have that rotational depth in the edge rushing room? And right now they have a complete edge rushing group. And I don't mean complete as though it can't or shouldn't be improved upon, because I think they are missing a starter right now. I think the only starter on the edge rushing group is Danielle Hunter. Stephen Weatherly, not a starter. Afadi Odenigbo, like a poverty starter. And we don't even know if he's going to be on the team. You have DJ Wonnum. So unless you're really, really high on Weatherly, you're really, really high on Wonnum. And I don't think the Vikings are that high on Weatherly based on this contract. That kind of tells me that they see him as a rotational player. And they even see him as a guy that like, hey, we're not even 1,000% sure you're going to make the team because we have this option now to just cut you before the season. And we're not really out that much money at all. So I think you're going to end up with a really interesting roster battle where I think they are going to get another edge rusher, another defensive lineman somewhere, be it in the draft or something. Somebody is going to be in there competing for a start, and you might end up with an interesting roster battle where you have, you know, this starting job that's sort of up for grabs. Open competition is what they'll call it, which I'm not a huge fan of at this particular position. I want a little bit of star power and not just like a rotation of okay dudes. But you'll have, you know, Weatherly, maybe Odenebo, maybe Wonnum, and like maybe another person all kind of competing for this this starting edge rusher job. And what I hope is that whoever joins the Vikings is exciting enough to take that job easily from the guys as good as DJ Wonnum and Stephen Weatherly. That's kind of where I'm at on Stephen Weatherly. He did not play very well. He started like 7 games. Carolina also had some injuries on their defensive line, so he kind of wasn't, I don't know if they thought he was going to start, but the contract they gave him, it was close to like what we gave Shamar Stephen, and we've treated him as an entrenched starter the whole time he's been here. So I think that, I don't know really what was going on in Carolina there. You'd have to ask the people at Locked On Panthers. But Weatherly now returns to the old homestead. He went out on his Rumspringa, and now he has come back to the farm to spend his time in the commune, as it were. So Stephen Weatherly has returned to the Vikings. And you know what? There is just something really fun and like in an emotional way about guys coming back to the Vikings after they go to other teams, and they go, man, you know, I missed it here. And it just kind of, you know, reassures you that the environment's okay, which is good because you've had, you know, players like Mackenzie Alexander and Jayron Kearse kind of leave in a huff, and the Stephon Diggs thing and all that stuff. And it's nice to see, you know, sometimes players like really do want to be here. And maybe those situations were kind of their own unique things with their own unique mistakes that we can definitely criticize, but not necessarily a reflection on the team culture as a whole. And I just like Stephen Weatherly as a person. All of the media types are going to be very, very glowing about him because he is really, truly a journo's best friend. Everybody in the media loves talking to him. He's a really kind of chatty guy. He's a really personable guy. Really, really, really nice dude. And he's always got a fun story. Apparently, he went on a glass blowing show as a guest judge on Netflix. So there's that. He's really into Bitcoin and baking. Like, he's got all these random hobbies. I just love him as a character. And I look forward to being able to cover him for a little more time. Now, I'm going to keep talking about free agency here for the rest of the show, but if you've got a little bit of a draft itch and you want to maybe lay down a little bit of a wager on the draft, you can. Here's a future for you from betonline.ag. You can look at who the second pick in the NFL draft will be. We all know it's going to be Trevor Lawrence first, of course, but right now Zach Wilson is favored at minus 190 for the second pick. But if you think it's going to be anybody else, if you think maybe the hype around Zach Wilson is too much and maybe the Jets won't go there or somebody else will trade up and go for Justin Fields or something like that, or they'll do something crazy, maybe you think Justin Fields will go to the Jags instead and Trevor Lawrence will be the second pick. That's plus 1600 if you think Urban Meyer is going to be real loyal to his old guy. I personally don't think so, but if you wanted to lay down a wager, you could do so at betonline.ag. And they have all sorts of things, not only weird NFL futures, but you can bet on basketball, baseball, hockey, college, pros, whatever. You can find it at betonline.ag, even TV shows, reality, award shows, all of that stuff. So head on over to betonline.ag, and when you sign up, you can use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, on no space, and get a 50% welcome bonus. That means they will match half of your original deposit. Put that in your account, and you get to play with all of that extra money at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So the Pittsburgh Steelers figured out their Big Ben situation. He restructured his deal. He's only making like $1 million in base salary now. He restructured the rest of it in ways that let the Steelers get under the cap. And if you want a little bit more detail on that, you can always head over to the Locked On Today podcast that gives you everything you need to know about all of the goings on in the sports world beyond football, basketball, baseball, all of that stuff on the Locked On Today podcast. Under 20 minutes. every morning with Peter Bukowski. Subscribe to Locked On today, wherever you get your podcasts. And while I'm at it, I'm going to take a quick detour to rant and rave a little bit about some of the cap misconceptions that I've seen going around. Now, if you listen to this show, you probably understand a little bit more because we've been talking about the cap a lot and we've been doing a lot of learning about what can and can't be restructured and what cap hits kind of are malleable and what isn't malleable and what can be moved and what shouldn't be moved and all of that stuff. But I've seen quite a few myths, I guess, out there. So we're going to do a little bit of myth fact on the cap, and then we'll get to some defensive line free agents that I like because I don't think Steven Weatherly exactly completes the job on defensive line, though he does round out the group so they at least have the right number and they would have like a number of rosterable defensive linemen. That's normal. They're far from done reconstructing that defensive line. But first, I just want to get some cap misconceptions out of the way, especially since I'm sure some news is going to happen this weekend as we get so much closer to that March 17th deadline. We might see some more restructures or extensions or even cuts, and I want to make sure that you are all fully equipped to discourse about such deals before I have to come in and check in on all of you on Monday. Make sure you can all behave over the weekend and not say wrong things. So here's something that I saw. Somebody asked me this on the Discord channel, which, by the way, if you want to join Discord, if you are on Discord and you want to join the Locked On Vikings community, you can find the link for that in the show notes. But somebody actually was asking, like, hey, what's the deal with Kirk Cousins? His $45 million in 2022 is becoming fully guaranteed. So I figure I should just do this every once in a while, right? It's been a while. Let me quick describe the facts of Kirk Cousins' contract. Kirk Cousins has a $10 million signing bonus hit this year and next year. That's because he signed a $30 million signing bonus last year to be spread over 3 years. So that's $10 million every year, and we're paying this year's $10 million chunk of it. He also has a $20 million or $21 million base salary that is also fully guaranteed. So that is $31 million that one way or another is going to be or already has been paid to Kirk Cousins. Now, if you traded Kirk Cousins right away, that $21 million would go to whatever team would take him, and functionally, next year's base salary is fully guaranteed as well. Now, it's not officially fully guaranteed yet, so when you go on websites like SpotTrack or Over the Cap, you might see that, oh, hey, cutting Kirk Cousins will save $35 million. They should just do that. Oh, good, they've got an out. But it doesn't quite work that way, because on, I think, March 19th or March 20th, a contract trigger is going to go off that fully guarantees that next year money, and that's this year in March. So you'd have to cut Kirk Cousins, who has a fully guaranteed 2021 base salary, you'd have to release him, saving none of that, and also incurring an extra $10 million penalty because of signing bonus acceleration, so you can't cut him. And they were never going to cut him. This whole contract trigger, I don't really know what the point of it was. I guess it was maybe for like the tradability of the contract in a situation where if, you know, he played a lot worse than he did in 2020 and they wanted to offload him, you know, maybe that would be something for like a trade and cut cap deal and they open themselves up to that. I don't know, whatever. But you can think of the 2022 $35 million base salary as fully guaranteed because in a couple of weeks it's going to be, and no, Kirk Cousins is not getting cut. But here's the thing, and whoever it was in Discord asked, hey, what do you do about that guaranteed money? You can get rid of guaranteed money off of your books. That player is going to see that money one way or another, but there are ways to get that cap hit down. You can restructure guaranteed money. You can convert base salary into signing bonus because signing bonus is also guaranteed. It's so guaranteed, you hand it to the player the day you convert it. And that is the other misconception. A player's cap hit, their salary cap hit, is not necessarily the same as the actual cash that they receive. And I've seen a lot of people say that, you know, oh, well, let's just extend Kirk Cousins. And I do have some Kirk Cousins extension ideas that, you know, I think if you want a Kirk Cousins extension, I have an idea of how I think that should work. And a lot of that is reducing his cap hit in 2022. By doing so, you don't actually reduce the amount of money Kirk Cousins is physically paid and goes home with. You just reduce the cap hit. The actual cash earnings and the cap hit are different numbers. And because of the way that signing bonus is spread out around the cap and the way that other bonuses work and stuff like that, don't mistake the actual cap hit for this is what the player is making. A lot of that usually is in signing bonus, and the actual game checks won't reflect that. And that matters when you're talking about like negotiating with players or getting players to accept restructures and stuff. Most restructures do not take a dime away from the player, and that's the other big cap misconception. And I have talked about that a lot. restructures are not pay cuts. A lot of times they're just conversions from salary to signing bonus. It changes very little from the player's perspective, except they get their money a little earlier, which I'm sure we all would love a salary advance. And they change things around the cap. They change a lot around the cap, but they don't change the actual cash earnings. And the other thing is guaranteed salary. You can trade. You can trade guaranteed salary. Some people think that you can't, think that once salary is guaranteed, it's on your books no matter what. And if you cut Kirk Cousins, if you trade Kirk Cousins, you will have to still be stuck with that tab. And that's not true. If the Vikings, say, traded Kirk Cousins next year instead of extending him, that $35 million base salary, the one that we're so worried about guaranteeing in a couple of weeks, would go to the team that traded for him. If you trade him to, I don't know, Dallas or whatever, Dallas would pay him $35 million, which, by the way, a $35 million quarterback in 2022 ain't that bad a deal. And the Vikings would still be stuck with the $10 million in signing bonus, but $10 million dead cap, and you've, you know, moved on from your really expensive quarterback, in the grand scheme of things, is a drop in the bucket. So that is absolutely an option. Kirk Cousins is tradable if you wanted to trade him. The Vikings don't want to trade him. They don't want to get rid of him unless somebody, you know, obviously offers them, you know, 10 first round picks or something dumb. But otherwise, Kirk Cousins is going to continue to be the quarterback. So I wanted to just quick take a detour, but now let's talk about some free agents, which we will do right after we get done talking about your car. I want to make sure that you are all being nice and safe, because did you know if your car idles, not only can you maybe, you know, damage the battery or something, but the air in your tires can get stale and your gasoline can get stale, and that can cause a lot of problems. And if you're ending up having car trouble, you definitely don't want to mess with that, but you also might want to make sure you're not getting ripped off, especially with brick and mortar auto joints. They are going to charge you a little bit more than they charge their wholesale buyers. As walk-in retail customers, you pay for like the overhead or whatever, and wholesale buyers get a discount. At rockauto.com, there is no such dynamic. Everybody pays the same price, and that means you stand to save a little bit. And they have an awesome catalog too. Whatever part it is that you need for your car, even just stuff like oil or a new ice scraper, because we all know we still have at least a month before winter is truly over. If you need anything from there, just enter your make, your year, and your model and the part that you want, and Rock Auto will make sure to sort out everything that isn't compatible with your car so that you are getting something that works for your very special vehicle. That's at rockauto.com. And at checkout, make sure you let them know in the How You Heard About Us section that Locked On sent you. Because if you don't, I'm going to have to wade through this creek to throw the dogs off the scent. But I'm a little bit worried about doing that because it gets very cold at night and I don't want my pants to be wet. Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. If you're like me, you might need a little bit of help, a little bit of advice to make sure that you're not throwing all your money away when you get to grambling. The Locked On Bets podcast is here for people like us. It's hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. They have daily picks, blowout specials, the wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day, which is always a ton of fun. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. So to wrap up the show, I'll finally talk about the free agent class that I have been kind of promising to you. I want to talk to you about the defensive tackles. We talked a lot about Stephen Weatherly and the edge group and stuff, and we'll see what they do there. They might go, you know, make a big splash or something like that. I would love like Romeo Okwara, but I want to kind of go through all of PFF's defensive tackles on their top 200, and we'll sort them into the same three buckets we've been doing. We did this with guards, we did this with pass catchers, either the too expensive bucket, the guys that are just out of the Vikings league, they're just not going to afford him, and for the most part, I usually wouldn't advocate it even if they had the cap space. Those kinds of contracts tend to be a little bit too risky, and usually the value signings end up working out a little bit better for their, you know, a little more bang for their buck. So there are value signings, ones that I call it the Goldilocks bucket, that's fully endorsed, sign off, let's do it. And then there's, of course, players that I will just say no thank you on, that I could definitely do without. At defensive tackle, the first few names are going to be the big name guys. Leonard Williams, over the cap projects him to get $20 million a year. I'm out on that. That's way too expensive. Dalvin Tomlinson, $13.3 million a year. I love Shelby Harris, and I really pined for him last offseason. This year, if the over the cap numbers are correct, he's going to make $11.13 million a year. Now you can make that cap space, you can make room for him if you want, and I certainly would do backflips, but I think he's going to be just a little bit too expensive for the Vikings, so he's a little out of our league. I would love him so much, but I just don't think it is quite feasible. But one that might be feasible, if only because of age, is Jarrell Casey, who has been a superstar, maybe one of the most underrated players in the whole league for like the entirety of his career, but there's an age problem here. He's going to be 32. He had a very limited role in 2020, and we'll see if he, you know, still has any gas left in the tank. But if he does, it might be worth it. And over the cap only projects him to have a $5 million a year contract. I still think he could maybe play at that starting level, and he could be a kind of disrupting force that the Vikings so desperately need. The only thing is, you know, are you paying for what he's done, or are you paying for what he's going to do? So I'm going to put him in the no thank you bucket, but I could certainly be talked out of that. One player that I would be very excited for the Vikings to get, and he's older than Jarrell Casey, but seems to be aging better than Jarrell Casey, Ndamukong Suh. He's a free agent coming off of the Super Bowl year, coming off of, you know, winning a ring there. He's going to be 35. Over the cap has him getting $6.5 million or $6.75 million a year. And he can still kind of ball. Like, listen, he is not the guy he was back in 2016, 2017. You know, the guy he was on those Lions teams, absolutely wrecking the Vikings day, or you know, wrecking the Vikings when he was with the Rams, or he wrecked the Vikings with the Bucks. He's been kind of a Viking killer, and I would love to have him on the good guys' side for once. And I think even though there is some age decline coming, and sometimes that can hit you a little bit like a truck, I would still take the flyer on it. I think that he can absolutely still provide some value, and I think he's always been in the too expensive bucket. But right now, Ndamukong Suh, maybe because people are maybe over evaluating him based on his age, he might be a little bit more of a value option. So I sign off on that. Yes, please. Let's take it. Sheldon Rankins is next on the list, and he's had some trouble getting staying healthy, and he's kind of fallen off, but not so bad that I think it's like a deal breaker or anything like that. He is projected $7.25 million a year for a 2-year deal. I would be down with this. I think that, you know, his last couple of years with the Saints, he's been pushing through some injuries, and I think sometimes that's just a factor of luck, and I would absolutely be willing to give him that chance. I'd be game for Sheldon Rankins for sure. I've been a fan of him since he came out in the draft. The next player is another older one. He's going to be 34 next season. It's Tyson Alualu. He played for a rotational role a lot. He played in Pittsburgh, and he did play very well, but again, he hasn't been that every down starter. And here's the thing about all this. If you're going to get a defensive tackle, I think a lot of those scenarios also involve cutting Shamar Stephen, and you know, putting those Shamar Stephen would save you a little over $3 million, maybe $3.5 million. And I think you would put those savings toward, you know, making this contract a little easier. So for like Tyson Alualu, who over the cap is projecting a 1-year, $6 million deal, you would have, it would be more like 1 year's $3 million, and you put the Shamar Stephen thing on that as well. It's like spending $3 to upgrade from Shamar Stephen to Tyson Alualu. But Alualu kind of can't play the whole role the way that somebody like Rankins or Sue or somebody like Shelby Harris could, you know, be that every down starter. And if I want to improve on Shamar Stephen, one of the biggest things I want to improve on with Shamar Stephen is getting a guy that can be useful in both run and passing snaps. And right now, Shamar Stephen only has one of those. Next on the list is Kawan Short, who had a ton of really, really, really great stuff. He's just coming off such a bad year, and it really seemed like he was washed. You'd have to take a flyer on him for $5 million a year per over the cap. That's a little bit, if I'm going to spend $5 million a year on a flyer, you know, I'm going to up that a million and change and go get Ndamukong Suh if I'm going to do an age flyer. I'm good on Kawan Short, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back. He's also a little bit more of like a true nose that kind of would be a little redundant with Michael Pierce, and I'm looking for more of that three tech type. That's the same thing with Daquan Jones, who you might remember that name as the guy who was COVID positive when he sacked Kirk Cousins on the Titans in that week 3 Titans game when that whole thing went down. Daquan Jones was that guy. He's been a rotational, also a nose tackle type. So I think I'm out on that. He also would get like $7.25 million a year. He has lined up in a lot of different places, but he's very much that like beefy run defender type. I actually think he kind of comps very similarly to Shamar Stephen, where he's a lot better in the run than in the pass. But I think, unlike Shamar Stephen, I think he can at least exist in the pass. So I could be talked into this, but I think for $7.25 million a year, I think you could probably do better in this market than that. I'm going to skip a few here just to make sure I can get through as many of the interesting ones that I want to on the list. Roy Robertson Harris is a slam dunk for me. He gets $6 million a year, 2 years per over the cap. And I think that the only thing that's stopping him from being a starting lineman is sharing a line with like Akeem Hicks and like Khalil Mack and stuff, I think he can absolutely be a starting quality lineman. I think what I saw from him in Chicago, every time I had to watch the Bears, and sometimes I would watch the Bears not just for, you know, previewing Vikings games and stuff, he always popped off the tape. I would be really, really excited for him. I think he's a huge bargain in this market if you get him for the $6 million a year that Over the Cap is projecting. And one final guy that I'm going to talk about here, I didn't get to everybody on this list, is Mario Edwards Jr. Mario Edwards had a suspension in 2020, and he's had, I think, a very strange career where he's always been a little underrated, but also like not all that great. But for $2.5 million a year, he could absolutely be the kind of rotational, let's bring in a guy to compete with Shamar Stephen and see where that ends up. I will see you all next weekend. We'll talk about whatever happens over the weekend. So make sure you all behave yourselves and don't say wrong things about the cap. I'll be watching you. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. The show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. I'll see y'all next week. And as always, Skol.